This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly, Brandon Graham Show at 6, and then the Players Lounge. We bring to you now Nick Sirianni. The coach's press conference is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. Here's Coach Sirianni.
Hey, Nick, I'm going to ask you one question you're not going to answer, and one you will. How's Jalen doing today? Do you have any update on him? And we haven't seen Tanner, obviously. Just kind of wanted to get an update on how he's been doing in case he does have to play. What have you seen from him, and how confident are you if he's got to go in there?
Yeah, Jalen's in the concussion protocol. When that happens, you know, we just lean on the doctors to let us know on a daily basis of where he is. As far as Tanner goes, him and Kenny have been getting a lot of reps on scout team and in our developmental periods. I think both of them have done a really good job there and are continuing to develop.
I'll go to Chris and then Jeff McClain.
Afternoon, Nick. I saw you guys finish 3 of 16 on third downs. Was there a common thread that you noticed after watching the film of why it was inefficient on third down?
Yeah, a lot of different reasons go into it. Obviously, our goals are to be, you know, well above that on third down, so we didn't hit our goals. I think we've been pretty good this past couple months of the season on our third downs after starting a little bit slow. But yesterday wasn't up to our standard. You know, we were able to convert on 3 of 3 on fourth down, so we kind of look at it that way too. With that, but we weren't good enough coaching. We weren't good enough playing there in our third down scenarios yesterday.
We'll go to Jeff McClain and then Jeff Nyberg.
Yeah, Nick, you said before that Jalen does a pretty good job of protecting himself, but would you have liked him to slide there?
Shoot, yeah, you know, he always has done a good job of protecting himself and been dynamic. Both as a passer and as a runner. Anytime something goes down and you lose one of your best players, you wish they'd do something else or not take that hit in that scenario. We always run runs that protect him, and we always want him to protect himself. Again, this is, you know, unfortunately, this is a unfortunate part of football, the injuries that happen. Unfortunately, sometimes it's with head injuries, and you never want to see that because you always want what's best for your players and their well-being. And obviously don't want them to take that hit.
We'll go to Jeff Nyberg and then Dave Zingaro.
Nick, you used the word sloppy a lot after the game. I'm wondering, after watching it back, what were some of your takeaways on a larger scale defensively that let you guys down yesterday?
Yeah, again, we a lot of different things, I think. When you talk about that too, like when you talk about it, it's never just, hey, this is defense, or hey, this is just offense, or hey, this is just special teams. Like, if you got to look at the big picture of it, we were unable to, in the second half on offense, you know, put 4 field goals on the board, right? We finished one of those drives. It's a different scenario, for the defense. Then you think about your kickoff, coverage, and that wasn't up to our standard. And so we gave them really good field position multiple times. We gave them a short field on a turnover as an offense. And so all those things play into it. As far as, you know, I'm always going to talk to you guys about and talk to our guys about, you know, we had some missed tackles yesterday that gave up some extra yards. We weren't on the same page here and there. We gave them some free yards on penalties. So there was a lot of sloppy things, you know, that we did have as a defense. But, everyone contributes to, you know, those 36 points getting put on the board, like I said, with the offense and the special teams. This is a team sport, and it takes everybody. And just like we get excited about complimentary football when we take the ball away, then punch it in on offense or have a big return and do something good on offense, you know, the same can be said when, you know, it doesn't go your way as well.
We'll go to Dave and then Jason.
Hey, Nick, how do you go about game planning on offense this week without knowing who the quarterback's going to be? Do you almost have to have, like, two game plans ready?
Some, you know, there's different approaches that we take, you know, with that. You know, it depends on the skill set of guys and the different skill sets. And, you know, sometimes it's to give the player the things that he operates well at. Sometimes it's, you know, what you're going against the defense. So there's not – you obviously, just like you would when a wide receiver's out of the game or a defensive back's out of the game, you adjust, and this is no different. You adjust. There's a lot of similarities. There's little differences, but there are differences, but it's just something that you adjust to. And this is the, you know, unfortunate part of the NFL. We've had a lot of experience doing this with different positions, and that includes the quarterback.
Nick, if I could follow up real quick, the quarterback obviously is a little different, though, than a receiver. Like, how much does that change?
The way I answered,
there's a lot of similarities.
I'm sorry. Sorry, somebody jumped in. Sorry, Dave. Somebody just jumped in.
I think it was an echo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. As far as, like I said to you, like what I'm saying is every position requires – what's bigger or what's smaller of an adjustment, right? You guys can debate that. But what I'm saying is every position that you are without a guy that's normally playing, there's an adjustment to be made. And quarterback's no different. So there'll be an adjustment that we have to go through. I'm not going to sit here and say this is how much adjustment, this is that. But every time that there's a player out, there is an adjustment to be made.
We'll go to Jason and then Tim. We'll go to Tim here.
Hey, Nick, did you get any further explanation as to why Gardner Johnson was ejected in that game? And on a larger point, when it comes to guys like him and Jalen Carter, who obviously play with a lot of fire, do you accept that there's going to be things like that that come along with that style of play?
No further explanation there. Again, I'll always keep my conversations with the league to us in the league, but no, I haven't had any further conversations there. You never want to have penalties like that. Again, I always encourage our guys to, you know, be themselves, have fun when you're celebrating, you know, play how you play, but do it within the confines of the rules. And that's something I say to our guys all the time. And that's the same message here. Obviously, you don't want those situations. I love how much energy and fire those guys play with, but obviously, do you want them to get a penalty, or is it acceptable to get a penalty? But again, like I said, you want there's a reason we have, you know, we have edge on defense. Is they we have really good players who, you know, play with great passion and great fire, like, you know, and that's huge. We just always got to understand and know to do it within the confines of the rules.
We'll go to Martin and then John.
Oh, hey, Nick. Yesterday, Kenny was saying after the game that he was going to get his ribs tested today. I was wondering if you had an update on that. And also, you know, the value of having a guy like Kenny as a backup, you know, someone who started for 2 years in Pittsburgh, being able to come in cold like he did yesterday.
Yeah, no new update there, Martin. Kenny did some really good things there yesterday. Obviously, we missed Jalen. Jalen's a great football player who's had tremendous success and led us to a lot of victories. So we missed him and his contributions to the team and leading the team. Kenny, under circumstances, came in and did a nice job, played good football, gave us a chance to win the football game. So, you know, obviously he's going to want some plays back, but he did a lot of good things, and that's, you know, that's the nature of his position, that they have to be able to do those things without reps, because everyone knows that. I mean, they don't get a lot of reps there. You know, now we try to do as much as we possibly can as coaches, and we kind of thought about this too with, you know, going all the way back to Gardner, you know, who wasn't with us in the preseason. We had to find ways, you know, post-practice and pre-practice to get him meaningful reps, and we've tried to do the same thing with Kenny and Tanner, getting meaningful reps as developmental periods, so they have opportunities and chances to rep our plays, not just the scout team plays. So you know, but great job by Kenny, doing everything he could do to help this team win yesterday. Played tough, made some big plays and made some big throws, and did a lot of good things.
We'll go to John and then Bo.
Hey, Nick. Coaches often talk about, you know, the high points never being as good as it looks, good as you think it's going to look, the bad points never looking as bad. When you, after the film, what did you like coming out of that game?
Yeah, you know, I thought that, you know, through everything, our guys just stuck together as a team. I think we played with relentless effort and toughness. You know, I thought that those are things that were highlighted. We had 5 turnovers on defense. You know, we were able to do some good things. Had some explosive plays on offense. Made some kicks on special teams and you know, in that second half particularly. Now, at the end of the day, like I said, our detail needs to be better in things. I have to coach better. We have to coach better, and our detail has to be better. But there were some, you know, our guys fought like crazy until the very end. Obviously it wasn't enough to win the game, but I know how together this team is and how tough and how much relentless effort this team plays with. And that was on display against another, against a good football team yesterday.
We'll go to Bo and then Zach.
Hey, Nick, just to follow up on, Kenny, if you got bad news on him, how comfortable would you be moving forward with Tanner if you needed to? And then I know you said the quarterback uncertainty doesn't change the game planning process, but from a practice schedule perspective, I'm sure you were maybe going to do some things this week with the holiday. Does that change at all?
Yeah, I didn't, you know, all I said was every position requires adjustments. I kind of generalized it, but I mean, every position requires adjustments when the guy's not in there. Quarterback's no different. You know, it's going to require adjustments. As far as our practice schedule being, you know, yeah, we are, again, we'll adjust things as we needed, as we need to. You know, you guys will see how this week's playing out. You know, I got a lot of things to balance, a lot of things to juggle. It's not just about, you know, one position. There's many positions and groups to think about, and where we are here at this point of the season. I'm sorry, Bo, what's the other part of your question?
Tanner, if you had to move on to Tanner, how comfortable would you be?
Yeah, like I said, Tanner's done a good job in scout team and developmental periods. You know, and so, again, Tanner gives us a lot of confidence. You know, Kenny gives us a lot of confidence. And I think that's just a tribute to Howie and his staff of all the pieces that he's given us to work with, right? And, you know, the depth that he's given us to work with. And that's, you know, we've had to play deep into our O-line. We've had to play deep into our secondary. You know, yesterday we had to play into our quarterback. Got a lot of confidence in the guys that are on this roster, both the 53-man roster and the practice squad. There's a reason every one of them's here, and it takes every one of them to help us get each and every victory that we've gotten.
Thank you.
We'll finish with Zach here.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. Understanding the concussion protocol is out of your hands and in the medical staff's hands, the players who are cleared in 1 week span, it's typically not until the end of the week. Would Jalen be able to play if he doesn't participate in practice?
Yeah, each and every week is a different scenario. What I've seen is Jalen knows how to prepare, knows how to get himself ready. He is a true pro, who, like I've said, I just can't say enough good things about about Jalen, the player, Jalen, the leader, Jalen, the person. Every week's a little bit different, and I know Jalen does everything he can to get ready for each and every week, regardless of the circumstances.
And then if I can ask a follow-up to that, would you want to see Jalen get work before the playoffs at this point?
Yeah, you know, Zach, just taking this one week at a time. I'm not going to get too much ahead of ourselves. We have work to do, and so we got a really good football team that's playing good football coming in here to play. So, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Is Nick Sirianni, the Nick Sirianni press conference. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Diamond studs, necklaces, engagement rings. Mark's Jewelers has you covered for the holidays. Finish your holiday shopping today at Mark's Jewelers. Twitter question was, yesterday's loss a big deal? No is down to 77%. But still, 77% don't think it's a big deal that we can't get the one seed anymore. I don't know what to do with these people. 215-592-9494. Louis in Nebraska, you're on WIP. What's up, Louis?
Ike, Chris, what's going on?
What up, Louis?
It was a tough day today because Tiger lost in the playoffs, too. So it was just a bad day all around. But anyway.
Oh, you know what, though? Charlie had a hole-in-one yesterday, though. Come on, man.
We're on to the young buck anyway.
Yeah, man. Hold on, real quick though, Spike, bear with me.
Yep.
Less than 30 seconds. Tiger looked more healthier than I've seen him look in a long time, man. I'm just saying.
He's gonna win the PGA Championship at Ronda McIlroy next summer when we're there, baby. Yeah.
We're gonna do this for 20 more years with Tiger.
Shut up.
Yep.
All right, as far as the goats go, the kids, man, Tiger's kid looks pretty good. Anyway.
Let's break that down, Charlie.
All right.
I hate FedEx Field, man. Why does everybody get hurt? And I've never felt comfortable going into this game. Not saying that we can't win, but I just knew that there's just disasters on this field. But let me just give everybody some encouragement to this afternoon, because me and Ike, we're professionals, we're realists, we're optimists.
That's true.
Okay, here's what happened. The backup quarterback showed that you can win. And the reason why I said that he can win is because they scored 33 points. That's one of the highest point games that we've had this season. And that's with a backup. So I feel very comfortable that if something did happen to the Michael Jordan, to the Duke, to the, you know, whoever you want to call him.
I haven't heard the Duke in a while.
Well, because the captain has been MIA.
You know, since Spike doesn't think I'm a supporter of Jalen Hurts or a weak supporter, I'm just trying to show him, you know, what it is. But, but guys, can we say that Jalen Hurts is more than just a guy, as my great friend Fritzy over there thinks he's just not a great quarterback?
Because he's better than Kenny Pickett? That's not it.
And here's the reason why. Jack is hurt because he couldn't cash in on his parlay because of the tush push. Look at how valuable that play is. Look how valuable scrambling is. Okay?
Passing the ball. That's also valuable.
100%.
Yeah. And that's the passing offense looked better yesterday with Kenny in there.
No. I'm sorry. It must have been cut out. No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. Yes, it did. It 100% did. He was on time. He was accurate. He pushed the ball down the field. The running game took a hit 100%. But the passing game was just as good, if not better, with Kenny Pickett in there.
Jack.
So, crickets?
Jack. All my boy does can throw the ball. And I feel like even though we should have made some coaching adjustments earlier in the game, that's all he has. He doesn't have the triple threat option that Jalen Hurts has.
Sure.
But just to give everybody some encouragement, okay, this is a wake-up call for the Eagles. This loss, no one was going to win 17 straight games. Now, no loss is a great loss. I understand that because I'm a professional athlete.
Except the Chiefs might go in and win however many straight games.
No, they're not. Because the Bills look for real this year, even though the Chiefs has beat them in the past. But
I mean, well, hell, Baltimore looked good, too.
Yeah. And so, just have everybody just stay encouraged, okay? I'd rather have this loss now than in the playoffs, okay? You know
really?
How great.
That's a big take, Louis.
You know how great Nick responds after a loss.
The Andy Reid of the 2020s, yep.
we're gonna get our quote unquote bye. Okay, we're gonna have three games at home, three straight weeks, and we know how when we're at home what we do. So everybody relax.
This is Kobe.
Here's a great take for you. We've already won in Detroit this year. Okay.
We did.
So everybody relax. When we get to Detroit, we're gonna win again. Spike,
who's,
you know what I'm talking
wait
about?
A minute. What do you mean we've won in Detroit? Yeah, what are you talking about?
Hey, Spike, where was the draft this year?
Oh, that was in Detroit.
Very cute of you. Very cute.
Oh, my God.
Spike, what did we do when we were in the draft, Spike? Did we win or lose in the draft?
We won.
We did win.
I rest my case. Y'all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. I'll see you next week.
Merry Christmas. I'm like, what? We won in Detroit already.
Louis's killing me, man.
Hey, man, give him credit.
Can I tell you something?
Let him cook.
I know you guys want to play private courses.
Only. And Jaws courses.
Pipe down over there.
Can I?
Yeah, pipe down over there.
And Jaws course.
Yes. Yeah. Jaws course is number one.
Number one.
Yes.
But let me just throw this out there. And
Riverwinds, Ramblewood Valley. Yeah, yes. Running near.
Downingtown.
Downingtown.
I know Jack's not going to agree with this.
Okay.
Okay, Andrew brings more than Louis from Nebraska.
Dude, that's not true.
Louis from
that's
Nebraska
not true.
Calls every week and he goes, you know, Jalen's good, guys. And then he goes, get it? I play golf. And it's the call every time. Louis from Nebraska is not as good as his brother. He's not as good as his dad. He keeps saying a golfer. I've never heard of him. I look at ESPN.com every single day. I never see Louis from Nebraska as just won some tournament. He always talks about
the. Well, you got to look at the Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, this guy is a fraud.
He's lacking a little depth. I got to admit.
Yeah, he's
a little bit.
Well, what depth does OK Andrew have? It's not that I don't love OK. He's obviously OK.
He has two home runs. One home run, bread and butter. Second home run, Jack's nickname is Hawk Tua. Because he spits all over the mic.
Yeah, apparently. There's a live audience here. Have you seen any spit? There's no spit.
I've seen plenty of spit.
Well, now I'm getting a bunch of saliva in my mouth because I'm thinking about it.
Everyone who's close to our broadcast here has asked for plexiglass in front of
no,
you.
No, you've been.
They don't want the little spittle.
Been complaining about that since you got here.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I got to admit, that was all right by OK Andrew.
But he's been cooking that up for a while.
That was a good one.
No, that's Dustin in the Northeast's fault.
Yeah, well, it's a winner.
Hog 2 on the mic.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Big V in Mount Laurel. Big V, you're on WIP. What's up?
Yo, Ike, Spike, Fritzy boy, how you doing?
Big V, what's up, brother?
Hey guys, look, yesterday, that was a tough loss. I mean, it sucks to lose, especially, you know, after having such a good win streak. But I think the Twitter poll is right. It's not that serious. Main thing is getting to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So, I mean, if we can do that, I'm okay with this loss. In fact,
oh, of course.
So you don't feel any different about the team moving forward. You're saying you still, even though we're not going to have home field advantage, looks like. I will say this: there's a slim chance something can happen to either Detroit or Minnesota in that second round, and we wind up with the NFC Championship game here as the number two seed, right? Like, there's something that could happen second round.
Yep.
Yeah. If all those planets line up, yeah. But
sure,
I mean, it's also a slim chance that Herb could be the next king of England.
Well, he's not in England.
You know what? I don't even have it in front of me, but I'd be interested to know how many of the number one seeds actually wind up hosting the championship game in both conferences.
I can look that up. I'll look that up.
That's true. But as far as yesterday's game, I mean, the big thing I've seen with defense is that there was no serious leadership on the field. These guys were playing out of position. They weren't communicating, and you had some people playing hero ball, you know, looking to sack Daniels, and, you know, he was killing him with his legs rather than containing him and flooding the zone. But in terms of the passing game, I don't think it was better than Jalen's, because Jalen brings a dimension. But if Pinkett is going to be the starter of the next game, maybe they ought to start, you know, at what I've been saying all year, putting in some screen passes and letting Saquon be Saquon.
Well, I'm just saying it would have helped yesterday if he could run a screen play.
So just to be clear, Big V, you feel all right about the loss yesterday as long as they win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it sounds like a good plan.
No, don't get me wrong. I can't stand losing, just like a lot of people. But, I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm going to lose sleep and the world's coming to an end. In fact, I had the Eagles for 4 losses this year, and it looks like they're going to exceed that. So, all in all, I'm happy. But I just want them to play like the professional high-level superstars that they are instead of that bullcrap that they did yesterday. That's it.
Well, you mean primarily defensively, you're saying?
Primarily defensively, yes.
Yeah. Because I didn't think they played. I mean, we had a couple of maybe a holding call here or there on the offense. I didn't think we played too poorly offensively, other than we didn't adjust from a run game coordination standpoint once Jalen went out. I thought a lot of the runs we still ran were ones we put in with the idea of having Jalen out there as a dual threat. And it didn't take long for Washington to figure out Kenny Pickett wasn't going to run the ball yesterday.
Yeah, I can't get over – I don't know if they told him not to run it. I just can't believe he wouldn't run it once or twice.
At least give us – like, even when you go to the sideline, somebody has to be like, hey, Kenny, you can keep it, and it's open on the outside because they're crashing down so much on Saquon. Like, Saquon, how many times did he get – dude, he got hit behind the line of scrimmage more yesterday than he got hit all year.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the line of scrimmage. This dude has been notorious for not having contact until he's 3-4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. He got hit in the backfield more yesterday than he had all year long.
And I just can't figure it out because – Pickett can move. He's not a statue.
Right, he's not a statue.
He's not Kirk Cousins.
And didn't he have a couple runs yesterday?
He
had a couple runs where he looked okay. He looked like an athlete.
3rd and 15 or 2nd and 15, one of those two.
And he had a nice –
He got him back in field goal range for one of the J.K.
I agree, yeah.
And he almost drew a personal foul on that late slide,
too. How about them picking that up?
Yeah.
It was a right call, but man –
yeah, I thought we were getting the extra.
I thought we were getting the first down. My goodness.
Do you think Saquon had some throwback feelings like he was a giant yesterday?
Oh, in that second half, for sure.
It looked like
He was like, damn, I hadn't done this. This hasn't happened all year long.
It's been a while.
He
was literally getting hit in the backfield as soon as he got the ball.
I do wonder, with Brandon not playing, who is
the leader?
Who are the leaders on that defense? I would imagine Slay, but I don't know who they...
Well, it has to be N'Kobe. He's the middle linebacker. N'Kobe and Zach Baum. Like, they have to be. I don't think there's one voice. I don't think anybody over there has a strong enough voice to be the one voice over there. So you almost got to do it by units. And Jalen Carter should be the one that's taking care of the guys up front, it seems like. Even though he's a younger guy, you would like if it was more of a Josh Sweat-led group, a veteran. But N'Kobe and Zach Baum are... They only have to worry about each other because no other linebackers really play but those two guys. In that secondary, real quick, Seth was pointing something out, the great Seth Joyner, about CJGJ, that a lot of people disagree with. They thought Seth was being a little bit too harsh on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson for getting tossed out of the game. Well, here's what I'll tell you. I can appreciate the emotion and the passion that Chauncey plays with. I can appreciate that. I told you, I was a younger player. You have to harness that stuff, and sometimes it's hard to figure out where that line is at while still being an impactful and effective player to the level what you're comfortable with. But you still have to be able to stay within those lines. That being said, his absence yesterday most certainly had a monumental impact on the defense. The miscommunication on the back end. The missed tackles. When you're playing with a new player back there in the secondary, you know, versus being accustomed to playing with the same guys where you have hand signals, where you're familiar with how that player plays and you're going to be able to play off of him. When you get a new guy out there like Tristan McCollum, even though he's been here, he's still new to the synchronization of the unit back there. They're not accustomed to him being back there. Is he as boisterous and voiceful as CJGJ? I'm not talking about from a smack-talking standpoint. I'm talking about changing,
communication,
changing coverages, knowing what you're supposed to do, making adjustments, little ins and out when you're going up against a bunch set and there's going to be crossing routes, things of that nature. Whereas Tristan McCollum may be out there, when you're that young player, dude, and you're out there, you're really thinking about, I don't want to make a mistake. Okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This it almost takes away from your ability to anticipate and think forward thinking. You're really robotic out there while you're playing because you're coming in cold. And so CJ being out, that's the ripple effect it had on the rest of the defense. And we saw mix-ups. Right? Like we saw
the 12 men on the field thing with Slay. And I'm with Seth on that. You can't – you get that first one. If you're CJ GJ and you get the first one just for talking,
yeah.
You have to realize you have made yourself a target. They're looking for it today.
And you got the first one after you got hit.
Right, so they're clearly watching.
Like, yes, I mean, you're the one who got hit, and he ain't got the personal foul. I still don't know how that happened, but
4 personal fouls on defense is too many.
Yeah.
And I know we always like to cry, well, what about them do this? You can't look at the Milton Williams one, the Jalen Carter one, and say that they weren't personal fouls. They were definitely personal fouls.
You certainly
fouls.
Know why they were called. Yeah.
Yes.
Without
the one of them was a quarterback. After there's too many, and Jalen Carter got saved, was it last week or the week before, where he hit the guy in the head, and luckily it was tagged on the end of the...
No, it was last week, yeah, against Pittsburgh.
It was tagged on the end of the kick rather than giving them a first down, but it's too much. It's too much. 215-592-9494. Kenny from the Dirty 30, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys, first off, I hope you have a great Christmas, happy holiday.
You as well,
enjoy
Kenny.
Enjoy your families and your loved ones. Now, I was down that game yesterday, and I was sitting real close to the field on the Eagles sideline. So I saw a lot of things. And Mike, I want to answer an earlier question for you. Pre-game, we were watching Jake Elliott and Brave Man kicking and the Redskins kicker. That ball was not traveling yesterday.
What was up with that?
It was that cold air. I mean, it was this cold, dense air yesterday. And none of them were doing it. I was watching them. I mean, Jake Elliott was barely making 50-yarders. And the Redskins.
Well, he made his 50-yarder yesterday.
Well, he did, but I'm telling you, during the warm-ups, we were scared with that, and none of the kickoffs they were practicing were getting into the end zone, and that played a big part in the game.
Oh, it played a huge part in the game. I didn't know if that was part of the Eagles' game plan, where they weren't kicking the ball deep or what. Like, I was like, what are we doing with the kickoffs?
Yeah.
So you think the weather conditions played a part in it.
Well, played a part in the kicking game.
That's what I'm talking
really
about.
Wasn't that bad overall to be down there. Now, it was just I know you played, but I'm talking to you as a fan now.
Sure.
Sometimes you go into a game and the crowd just isn't right. That was half Eagle fans, and it just didn't have that vibe. I've been to 5 away games this year, and no one was whipped up into a frenzy. It was just bizarre. And then the game started, and weird things were happening. I mean, when Jalen got hit, that was right in front of me. I thought for sure a flag was going to come out for helmet to helmet. I'm not blaming the refs. It was clear to me from my angle. But then I saw uncharacteristic tackling, which I haven't seen since the Tampa game. I just saw it reminded me a lot of that Atlanta game where we just didn't have it. It just wasn't one of those games, and it really upset me because I know we're better than that, but. I think it happens. I mean, you play sports long, and there's 17 games in the NFL, man. It's a tough sport, I'm going to tell you. And I was just – and all that, it could have all been forgiven with a simple catch by Smitty. Just like that Atlanta game, a simple catch catch forgives all those sins. And it just shows you the kind of day it was when even your best players can't even make the simplest plays. And I'm not coping. It's just the way it was. It was just one of those games, and – came at a bad time when we had a chance for number one. Now we don't. So now we got to make the best of it.
No, I mean, listen, it's. I don't know if anybody can explain it or express it much better than what you just did. I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, sometimes you go out there and think about it. How many games do you win when you turn the ball over 5 times?
Right.
Like Washington won a game where they turned the ball over 5 times. That usually does not happen in the NFL.
So this is only the second time, I think, in the last 20 years.
And both happened
this year.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the third time in the last
Detroit,
20 years.
Remember, but Detroit did.
It's Detroit, and I think there was one 10 years ago. So maybe it's 3 in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, you know, being down that low, I saw how diminutive Jaden Daniels is. If they don't bulk him up and feed him some pasta, man, he's going to get killed. He better stay fast. I mean, Spike, he's like your size.
Well, yeah, thank you for the call, Kenny. I think Jaden Daniels is a little bit bigger than me.
Yeah.
Probably.
Doesn't look like it's been too big of an issue for Jaden Daniels. And a lot of people said the same thing about Lamar Jackson, that he was too thin and he needed to bulk up and all of that stuff. So.
And by the way, he got older and got stronger and all those things. I think Jaden Daniels thing,
these
will
dudes
be fine.
Win, they play winning football.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last thing is he's worried about putting on 20 pounds.
He's bulk up. Curious to see where he evolves, Jaden Daniels, because he looks like he's going to be a real player for a number of years.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with your organization. If you're a lot of these quarterbacks, man, we've seen guys have one good year, and then if you don't continue to put good players around them, you don't have a good coaching staff around them, like, you can waste a lot of guys' talents. So, like, I think he's going to be as good as Washington is as an organization in cultivating and putting a culture around him that allows him to thrive. You know, Donovan will tell you, man, you can ask him. As good as he was as an individual player, to have the supporting cast that he had, that gave you a 10-plus year career of being one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Well, you see it with so many quarterbacks now fail on their first team, and they float around the league, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or whoever we see over the next few years. Yep. A lot of it has
that's two classic ones right there.
Yeah, and
those two.
Geno Smith is another guy that a lot of it is situational for sure. And I'm only going to – this is only a 30-second thing because we have Donovan next. But there was one quarterback who was available this year as a backup who has played a game much more similar to Jalen Hurts, who we could have had, and we decided not to sign him, and he is on the Minnesota Vikings, and that's Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones, I'm just saying, he played...
I'm sitting here like, who are you talking
about? Well, I mean, he ran... 2 years ago, he ran for 700 yards, playing with Saquon Barkley. And look, they probably weren't going to do it, whatever. If you want to run a similar offense, he's not as good as Jalen Hurts. That's not what I'm saying. But if you want to put a guy in who knows how to run that same offense, who will take off with the ball in the RPO, who, by the way, has communicated with Saquon Barkley enough on plays like that where they'll have a decent rhythm, he was available, and we could have signed him. And instead we decided – now, Pickett was fine, but if in a game like that where you're not going to change the game plan in the middle of it, there was a quarterback who was available who could have played the same type of game that Jalen, at least stylistically, that Jalen did, and he was available, we decided not to sign him. Or he decided to go to Minnesota.
Decision.
Well, I mean,
he has a stench on him.
He does, but so did Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I wasn't all that happy about that. Yeah, I agree with you. Yep. Yes, I wasn't all that happy about that.
So one guy who doesn't have a stench on him is Donovan McNabb.
Nope.
And we will talk to Donovan next about the job that Kenny Pickett did and the Eagles' performance yesterday defensively and the sort of lapses they had from a personal foul standpoint as well. Get Donovan's thoughts on all that next, along with your calls. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.